This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Neil. I'm an OTI member. Most of my adult life, I've been sober curious or looking to go AF or doing stints of going alcohol free, but they would never stick. I think the reason they didn't stick was because there was lack of community or peer support. So once I found out about OTI and the community, I had to join straight away. Joining the OTI community has been the best alcohol free decision I've ever made. It's such a fun, safe space to share your alcohol free wins. There's always someone to give advice or celebrate with you. So if you're sober curious, come and join the fun at OTI. You won't regret it. It's a game changer.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. Yes, it's us again in your ears, banging on about sobriety week in, week out. If you are maybe just listening for the very first time, where have you been? Let us introduce ourselves. My name is Sharon Hartley. Everybody calls me Shaz or Shazza, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. 5 and a bit years now, alcohol free. It's still dead good. In fact, it gets better and better and better. I know I sound like a stuck record. I don't care. In a nutshell, I only ever wanted to take a break from booze back end of the summer in 2018 with the full intention of getting right back on it just in time for December, 3 months or so later. Something bonkers happened that I didn't expect. It was ace. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't boring. My life started to open up and I fell head over heels in love with sobriety. And here we are shouting about it week in, week out. I do not do this on my own, thank goodness, because that'd be boring. Hello, Ben Anderson.
Hey, Shaz. I feel like we're in different places today. So quickly, I'm Ben. I'm 35. I live in Liverpool. 3 years and 3 or 4 months alcohol-free. You do tend to forget after a while. Gave it for 3 months and then thought, you know what, let's take this to six. Got to six and thought, oh, it'd be cool to say I did a year. And on day 366 went, this is better for me. I'm better. I'm a nicer guy as an alcohol-free person. But you are, you know, probably chirpier than usual, Sharon. I feel the opposite. I feel a bit sad tonight because Shaz is so happy because she's off on the holiday of a lifetime at the weekend. Because you are going to celebrate your birthday with your family in beautiful Barbados, which is, I'm really happy for you, but I'm not going to see you for 2 weeks. I think since we started this podcast, we haven't had a 2 week break. We've got episodes, you know, we've recorded loads to make sure there's no break in service for you, dear listener. It will still be out every Monday as it will be for the rest of time. But I'm just a bit sad. I'm going to miss you, Shaz. I hope you have a lovely time. I'm going to miss you.
I'll miss you too. But listen, Ben, make the most. I am in your messages every day. You do see my fat face on Zoom constantly. Make the most of the break. I'll be back in 2 weeks. It'll be fine. All right. I'll send you a postcard.
Yeah, thanks. Right. You know what? I feel like we've got a particularly chirpy guest today as well.
I
love it when a guest comes on Zoom and you can immediately feel that they're just a high energy, happy person. Shaz, over to you for the big intro.
Let's do it. He's been beaming, actually, since we started this intro. And I think it's going to be a really positive chat today. We would love to introduce and welcome to the podcast Marcus Jones from Hertfordshire. Marcus, first question, how the heck are you doing? It's lovely to see you.
Oh, beautiful to see you guys. And I saw you got a magazine revealed today as well. That was pretty good. Is that what I checked out on your Instagram?
Oh, well, yes, that's just our friend, actually. Yeah,
we have a showbiz friend, Marcus.
It's, oh, my God. That's how you guys roll.
Not through being alcohol-free. You know, it's not like we've got a showbiz friend who also happens to have given up drinking. We've made this showbiz friend through the podcast shows, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, if you've not seen it yet, go and have a look at our socials. It's basically a fantastic article written by the one and only Ruth Jones, amazing author and actor. And it's a great good spread, it is, in Good Housekeeping magazine. And we're just so chuffed to bits because Marcus Ruth listens to the podcast and she gave us a really good plug. So we're over the moon. So that's what you saw today. So thank you for mentioning that.
Amazing. Yeah, I just think, isn't it crazy? I literally just been on a call before this. Isn't it crazy how since, and this is not a plug and saying but since going sober,
you've got a showbiz friend too.
The showbiz friends, like, not, it's not just like, so I've had a message from a famous comedian saying, I love your stuff. I've had a message from a famous golfer saying, I love your stuff. And I'm a part of Dapper's moderation. Now, this doesn't happen if I'm on the sesh every weekend, right? Isn't it crazy? And it makes me feel like, even though I do look a bit like Alan Carr, it makes me feel like I'm a bit of a celebrity as well.
I wouldn't have said Alan Carr. I wouldn't have said Alan Carr. Oh, hello, love.
but that's it, isn't it? Like, this I'd have never got on podcast before. I wrote for the Sober Edit as well. You know, I've run marathon. We'll get into this, but I've never would have thought this is Marcus, right? This is me now. And we do sing it upon the rooftops, you know, how amazing it is, but it's also the networks you create, you know, you two beautiful people, you know, it's also these look at the energy, the smiling. I know Shaz is off to Barbados and, you know, I mean, what?
That's the only reason I'm smiling, Marcus, to be honest.
Exactly. But the glow and just the energy, even though, you know, it's dark, it's cold, etc., that doesn't stop us sober people just generally loving life, right?
I'm going to jump in there. And it does lift the lid on your world. And yes, it sounds like Marcus, that your world has changed considerably. You are more than 1,000 days alcohol-free. I don't know what the exact number is, but you're racking up the numbers. Let's go back to when life was less sparkly and maybe less colourful. And what led you to make such big changes in your life?
Yeah, so when it wasn't so colourful and it wasn't so sparkly was I went, so my ex-wife decided on Pancake Day, I can't remember the exact year because it literally all rolled into one, but like she literally said to me, I don't want kids and I don't think I can do this anymore. And I'm like, do what? And she's like, I don't think we can be together anymore. And I was like, ooh, this isn't good. And this felt to me, it just came out of the blue and just felt, oh, where's this come from? And I glossed over at the time thinking, oh, she's just in a bit of a slump. And next day, it was talking more seriously about, right, you're going to have to move out. This is of our marital home. She'd moved from Telford, Shropshire, down to Cambridge. And that was it. And then what spiraled into a pretty messy divorce, five and a half, 6 years was just me masking them emotions. Everything that come up at the time was just like, oh, do you know what? The best way to do with this, I moved into my parents. Best way to do with it was either bury my head under the duvet or bury my head into booze and substance abuse. And that was me for a good 5 to 6 years. And that's a long time, right? Of just every weekend, it's the same pattern. And I do find that we're talking about who we hang around with, but I do find at the time I was just, that was the mark, that was my identity. It was like, I'll just go out every Thursday and Friday and not go to sleep till the Sunday, but hate myself, hate my life, hate everything about it, and bury myself into a deep state of anxious and depressive thoughts, because why not deal with life, just mask it through alcohol and drugs.
And how was it before then? You know, before the divorce, were you a heavy drinker? Were you using substances? You know, by the way, always the policy here is if you don't want to talk about something, just tell me to bugger off and move on, and we will.
No, 100%. Before then, it was. I thought about this today, actually. I did a training and I thought about it and I was like, in fact, it was off the back of you listening to you and Dapper and what something he said was, I don't think I ever used to drink just because I liked the taste of drink, right? I used to drink because I wanted to get pissed. And like, again, like, there's pictures of me like at weddings, like with a puppet in there, like a sooty puppet in my hand, like again probably acting up to everyone because the mark. And it's interesting because I've got friends who I used to go, you know, go nightclubbing with at 18 who are like, oh, now when I've been sober we meet up every Christmas and they were like, oh come on Marcus, tell us a few jokes. And I'm like, again, it's that identity of me being drunk and telling a few jokes, that was me. So like, I would say it wasn't unhealthy, but it wasn't particularly healthy. It was more of a binge, you know, a laddie binge culture that I brought up on. And until I met my now ex-wife, I think that was it. And then I thought just before I went sober, I just thought, oh, I really like the taste of red wine. And but then that become a bit of more of a session of like, oh, let me try another bottle tonight, you know, let me try another glass or two. But then that glass or two would be like a bottle. And I'd be like, people, I don't know how you guys feel, but people would be like, what about, you know, have you tried stopping? Have you tried like mellowing down? And that's like red rag to a bull, isn't it? Like, I'm like, okay, cool. You're telling me to stop drinking. I'm going to have more. And that was sort of my mindset of the alcohol at the time. And then when shit hit the fan, it went further than that. So I'd say it's never been I drank because I liked the taste of it. It was more I drank because I wanted to get absolutely wasted.
But it ramped up after a big event in your life and became more of your identity at that point.
100%. And it was never... Yeah, and if my parents listen to this, I'm sorry, but I was never really, really anti cigarettes and drugs. But alcohol's just as bad, right? So I was really anti that. But then, just when I was at the end of my marriage, I started then doing cocaine, and then because of the people I hang around with, once I went for a divorce, while I was going through my divorce, then that became a regular as well. So hence why I was, you know, in someone's kitchen every Friday night until probably not going to sleep until the Sunday morning, you know. And then that just became the norm. I mean, I don't know if it's just our age group, but it does seem to be like, I think there's a famous saying, but there's a quote about as soon as you realise that when you're adulting, cheese is expensive and everyone does cocaine. And I know I didn't, because I was so blinded by thinking, by not really anti that, then I started doing it. And actually that is such a poignant quote or poignant like thing I read, because actually everyone does. And it's surprising who does. And yeah, I just kept going down, down and down in this cycle every weekend.
Marcus, that's kind of, it's scary, that, isn't it? You know, an event that you weren't expecting to happen. You said that it was, you know, you had this conversation with your ex-wife that you weren't necessarily prepared for it, and that was, you know, yes, okay, you didn't necessarily have a particularly good relationship with alcohol before then, partly to do with the culture. We're not far off in terms of age, Marcus. And, you know, we know that society, we know the kind of societal pressures, the binge drinking culture, especially in the UK. But it's almost scary that an event like that caught you off guard led to you ramping, well, not just ramping up the drinking, but then also, you know, that being potentially a gateway to hard drugs.
Yeah, it completely was. It was definitely the gateway. You know, it was definitely like, and then it became, like I said, became like a regular thing. It's just like it's like something goes well with something. That's how it felt. Like, it felt like the Friday night, right, it's 10 o'clock. I've had 4 beers. Let's call dealer and get a packet in or whatever we're doing. And then from then on, yeah, it was just like, it was just the norm. And that's the scary thing, is just, it was just the norm. And the fact that it probably is still the norm for a good chunk of our lad, the lads my age, you know, and that laddie culture says that's the norm now. And it's very scary, because the same people will be doing the same thing over and over again until they're not, right?
It is scary. And I think another thing that seems to have changed, a couple of weeks ago, I was walking down like a busy kind of bar and restaurant road not far from where I live. And it must have been 6-7 o'clock in the evening on a Saturday evening. And there was a group of lads very obviously, very publicly doing what I assumed was cocaine on the street.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't hiding in a toilet cubicle. You know, they were on the street in plain view, you know, and it was it shocked me because it was so brash, you know, but is that part of that normalization that you're talking about? Is it not just, it wasn't just a kind of personal normalization for you in terms of your use, but also it kind of feels like there's a kind of societal normalization.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that it got bad and I didn't realize. I was pretty like exactly what you said there. I was pretty much like, okay, so it didn't matter who saw, you know, and where I could do it, you know, and it would be involved. It, the same as alcohol, like I said, it went hand in hand, like cheese and crackers, so to speak, or you know, any good pair, you know, Penn and Teller or whatever. It went hand in hand. So it just went hand in hand. So whether I'll be on the chips and gravy, yeah, whether I'll be on the train,
we've now got some Mackie Bees members who are watching this call chiming in the chat box on Zoom with their favourite pairs. So
it feels
weird and inappropriate in a way, but I do also really like it.
But gravy. But it was just like the norm, and it was just like, I suppose for 31 years I'd been like that anti, I'm still anti-smoking, but that anti-person of that, you know, drugs is bad. My attitude was literally, if I did one hard drug, I would die. That's my attitude. And then flipping that attitude with like, I'd do it weekly, possibly, this is going to sound bleak, but possibly didn't care if I died. And that was... And also, like you stated, doing it quite openly was the brashness of, I suppose, the attitude. And I didn't care much about anything. And that showed in my health, my, you know, I literally had probably about $2,500 worth of gum reconstruction. And I wish I'd have got the pictures, because obviously I was rubbing in my gums and my, literally that middle bit in my gum there, my teeth are a lot better now and everything, my gums, it's all sorted. But that middle bit in the gum, you know, that bit there literally was hanging off. And I said, Mum, I was around my mum's and I was like, Mum, I live with my mum. I was like, Mum, what's this? And that's just how much I didn't care. And I was overweight. Yeah, it was just brutal. And because I didn't care, what... If we know that if we don't care about ourselves, no one else is. So I was just in a state of destruction and nothing was getting in my way. It was like a tornado.
We are just going to take a really quick break from this episode with Marcus. Much more to come with Marcus very, very shortly. Before we do that, Ben has been Snoop Dogging our reviews, our podcast reviews. If you are enjoying this episode, please do just consider giving us a 5-star. You know, not that we're needy.
No.
Not that I'm being all Beggy Mitchell.
No.
But yeah, five stars would be good and a nice review.
That'd be great. Just click on the, if you're on Apple Podcasts, that's where we're doing these reviews from, click on the, you know, give us the 5 stars, but also click on write a review. If you get chance, it's just, it just really helps us out, basically. And Shaz can read them on the beach in Barbados, because by the time this episode comes out, Shaz, you will be sunning yourself.
I don't want to talk about it, but yes, I will be on the beach. I'll be listening to Over the Influence on the beach.
No, don't.
Actually.
Go on, have a break, love.
No, I will.
Have a break.
No, I am that sad.
Jamie gave us, guess how many stars, Sharon?
Possibly 4. I'm hoping for 5.
5 stars.
Thank
the title
you,
of this
Jamie.
Review is the one and only AF podcast. This is the first podcast I ever listened to. 7 days into being alcohol-free, I found ATI. I'd just started working as a postman after being made redundant during the COVID crisis, so I was able to binge listen whilst walking all day. It was a total game changer. After multiple attempts at knocking the drink on the head over the years, I can honestly say this podcast is finally what made it happen. Thank you so, so much. No, Jamie, thank you.
Thank you
for leaving a review. We appreciate
thank you. Thank you.
We appreciate your review. Fitzy said, guess how many stars Fitzy gave us?
I'm hoping it's 5.
It's 5 stars.
Yes, Fitzy. Yes, Fitzy.
The title of this is My Weekly Monday Motivation. I look forward to listening to the ATI podcasts every week as they kept me motivated on my alcohol-free journey. Since I started last December. It's great to know that there's a community of like-minded people out there as I navigate my way through what can sometimes feel like a solo swim against the tide.
Yeah.
Thanks, Shaz, Ben, and all the contributors for this fabulous resource. Highly recommended.
No, thank you.
Fitzy,
thank you.
Thank you.
Keep going.
Mel B, brackets, not the famous one. Guess how many stars Mel B's left us, Shaz?
I'm going to go for 3 out of 3 here. 5?
No, 4.
Oh, Mel!
No, but I think that
why?
Mel... I'm because she says some really nice things that I'll read out in a second. I think Mel might have accidentally hit 4 rather than 5.
But, I mean, think that was...
Based on what she says, is really very... It's a 5-star written review. You know, I think it might... Just go... Mel B, not the famous one. If you're listening, just go back onto your app because it will have registered you. Just
I mean, do it again.
Obviously, if you meant 4... That's fine.
I don't think she did.
Let us know where we've dropped a star. Is it my contributions? Is it Sharon's contributions
probably
that you've knocked a star off for?
Probably mine. It usually is.
Hi, Shaz and Ben. I was a heavy daily drinker and it was spoiling my life. OTI has helped me so much to change things. I'm now 13 months into sober life. Personally, I need the in-person 12-step program of AA. But the OTI podcasts have also played a big part, particularly in the early weeks and months. You kept me going between meetings. I still listen and never thought I'd say this, but I love, in capitals, being sober and listening to you guys. Please keep it up. It helps me. It must be helping so many others as well. 4 stars from...
Brilliant.
No, but that's got to be an accidental 4.
I think it was a case of sausage fingers. That happens a lot, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to insult.
She's got fat fingers.
Yeah,
well.
I'm not. You know, that's where. And you know what? We'll go back on next week, and she would have changed
it'll
it to 3.
It'll be 3. Yeah,
it's
like Sharon's motor mouth.
Yeah.
I love that as well. And because we say this a lot, it's about finding what works for you. So if it is an AA meeting alongside an online group, alongside a podcast that floats your boat. It's brilliant. Fingers in many AF pies, not necessarily fat ones or sausage ones, but thank you for that brilliant review. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you, Mel B, in brackets, not the famous one.
Right, should we get back to the episode with Marcus?
Yes, and thank you again for all those reviews. If you are enjoying what you are listening, please do head to your podcast provider. We are talking about the Apple reviews in this case. If you'd like to give us 5 stars, fabulous. 4 is it's okay, but we like a 5 and a review. Thank you kindly. Yes, let's get back to Marcus. You said there, Marcus, that you didn't care. You just simply didn't care. When did you start to care? What happened?
there was like a chain of events that happened. There was two big moments, but I'd say three big moments. The first big moment was I received a Christmas card from my nephews, who I, if you look at my socials or whatever, my nephews are pretty much like my world. Yeah, my nephews, my family, my girlfriend, they're my world. But they drew a Christmas card, and they were only young at the time. They drew a Christmas card of me perched over a table with loads of beer cans saying Happy Christmas, Marcus. That's a wow. Fucking hell. That was a moment I'm like, phew. At the time, I laughed because, again, my mind was like, oh, they see me as a bit of a pisshead. At the time, again, that still wasn't the catalyst to be like, right, how can I role model behaviours to these nephews who just think I'm a pisshead? Then I did a cruise with my parents. They were incredible to me. My mum took me to New York. My family took me on a cruise, and it was all-inclusive. And all-inclusive, I was beer. Like, I'd often go to, I was staying above there, my parents, because I was lodging with my parents at the time on the cruise. I was staying in like a bunk bed above their double bed, and I was just pretty battered every night. But that was a week, and then I had a day back at home, and then I went four nights, 5 days to Vegas. I ended up probably, I don't know, best part of 15 hours sleep in 4 days. 4 nights, 5 days, throwing up blood at the end of it. And but that still didn't really make me think, oh, this is not good. But then lockdown hit. Now, probably this might sound controversial to some, but to me, lockdown was my best friend. I couldn't go out. I looked in the mirror one day and I was like, wow, you are a state, like, not severely, but like, probably 3.5 stone overweight. What was I doing with my life? And luckily I met my now partner, who was amazing. And just before lockdown met her. And that then gave me the lockdown gave me a kick up the ass to be like, I can't go out. I can't get battered. I still drink at home every now and then. But then I think the March 2020, I mean, it was in the Jan of 2021. I was going on holiday in the March, and I was like, I'm going to get Beachbody ready for that. So I'm going to give up booze for till then. So that's 3 months. Again, like you guys, it's just gone on and on and on. But the real kicker, and I don't know how, why this is a massive trigger, but I went out with my girlfriend and she was drinking, I wasn't, and she got wasted. And we had words, and then I woke up in the morning. She woke up when we were chatting. I was like, I'm never drinking again. And literally, and then obviously we're here 1,000 days later. So there was, sorry, I've gone way, way off topic. But yeah, there was catalyst upon catalyst. And then as you guys, it's the momentum is just stacked, and yeah. And I'm over 1,000 days now, coming up to 3 years, which is pretty crazy.
Which is brilliant. And I don't want to put words in your mouth. And so correct me if I'm wrong here. You've gone from being in a pretty bad state with drinking drugs, and then you stopped. It can't have been easy.
No, and because of lockdown, I couldn't access. Well, I mean, I probably could, but I wasn't then going out with the same crowd every weekend. I met a girl. It wasn't easy, but I think it is. There's a good saying that I've learned from my coach is what you add momentum. So what you add attention to, you add a momentum to. So I was focused on that initial 3 months. That was my baby. That I'm going to get trim. And that holiday actually got cancelled. But the momentum, whatever I did, seemed to, you know, these little things started to happen, and I got myself a coach. You know, I've been endless therapy at the time, but I started to change my mindset. And I think that's the, that was the catalyst of changing my mindset of being like, and again, I suppose that's a bit of like changing my identity as well. It's definitely, and anyone that says it is easy is lying to you, because we all know that, you know, we're all big characters, and we all know that sometimes we're relied on from that person in the past. So that was the hardest thing. I think the hardest thing for me was changing people's opinions of my identity, of like Marcus, the clown, the funny clown. I think I'm funny. I'm still funny. but yeah, it was not easy, but it was taking it day by day and then week by week. And then I don't want to ruin my number count. Like, that's the thing, isn't it? You get on there, you're like, oh, well, I'm 1,000 days now. I'm not going to ruin that for anyone. And that is the God's honest truth. And when you get to, I don't know how you feel, but it's a lot of firsts, isn't it? You get over the first holiday, you get over the first wedding, you get over the first stag do. I mean, first stag do, it was boozy as hell. And I left at like 9:30. That's the beauty. You know, everyone chats the same shit after the first 3 pints. So I don't need to hear that story again. I'm off. But the beauty is, the soon as you start stacking these wins, like I said, because obviously all we do is drink to every occasion in the UK is, you know, commiserate. We, weddings, funerals, bar mitzvahs, whatever it may be, we drink for that reason. But yeah, it wasn't easy, but it's single-handedly the best decision I've ever made.
So what you add attention to, you add momentum to. Love that.
Love here we go. It's going, yes, on his quote board. Oh, seriously, don't start him, Marcus.
So, Marcus, where's your attention then?
So, yeah, this is a great question, but because I'm not going to slag off all of the listeners or whatever, but what I'm going to say is...
No, please don't do that. We're quite nice of them.
No. Because our listeners will be adding momentum to what they want to have happened. The thing is, a lot of the UK, and maybe when I was 100%, when I was boozing, I was indoctrinated on how I didn't want to feel. But now I changed my focus and focus on how I do want to feel. I know that's it seems simple, but you change your thoughts, you can change your life. That's that powerful. If I told you now, both of you, if you're not feeling in a great mood, if I told you now to go on your phone, look at pictures of your kids, your holidays, Barbados, you're going to change your state, your physical state. You know, you're not supposed to be happy all the time. We're not supposed to be sad all the time. You know, all emotions are transient, but you can change how you feel in a second by looking or changing where your focus is placed.
I totally agree. And we talk about it a lot within the community that sometimes it can feel like a switch has been flicked. You're obviously a quotes man, so I'm going to throw one back at you, Marcus. And this one is from James Clear. It generally feels better to run towards something than to run away from something. Focus on what is pulling you in, not what you're trying to avoid. James Clear.
Yeah, James, what a book. But I do feel that pain moves quicker than pleasure.
Right.
You're going to move way quicker if I said to you, like, if you're in, against why me, I'm going to move way quicker because I'm in so much pain. As there's only two things we, like, as humans, we do. We either move towards pleasure or away from pain. Pain moves quicker than pleasure. And that's a fact. Like, if you're in a lot of pain, you're going to make a decision that moves you, tries to move you away from that. But I'm a massive quotes fan, and I don't know off the top of my head, but again, it's about attention. So where attention goes, energy flows and results show. So it's where are you placing your energy today? If you're not placing it on how you do want to feel, then you need to, because if you're then placing it on how you don't want to feel, and no one wants to be stuck, right?
Marcus, give me that one again. That sounded quite up my street.
Yeah, so where attention goes, energy flows and results show. Like
Shaz likes the rhyming ones.
I like the rhyming. Yeah. I like a simple quote. Yeah, it sits well in my perimenopausal brain, to be honest. Yeah, it doesn't take much deciphering.
That's a Tony Robbins quote. Yeah, it's powerful, because I think we place our, sometimes we place our attention on where we don't want to be instead of where we do want to be.
Throughout the course of our chat so far, you've mentioned your parents quite a few times. Yeah, I know you said that you went back to live with them. You've been away with them. What's your relationship like with them now, and how important have they been over the last 1,000 plus days for you?
Wow, yeah. Yeah, I can get emotional about these because, yeah, they're just like my world. They're like the catalyst to everything. Like, whether that be, you know, they're there for my marathons, they're there for my half marathons, they're there for, like, my dad's, you know, they're very... My dad's very old school, and like, he feels that if he's got a problem, he'll try and throw money at it to be like, oh, well, we can sort it out, son. But like, yeah, the difference in having people around you that are there for you, and just, yeah, I really, this is hard to say, but I really don't know where I'd be without my two, you know, my parents and my sister, because, you know, there was times when I would cry to my mum and dad, and or especially my mum, and say, like, I feel like a burden. I don't really want to be here anymore. And that would then make my mum like burst into tears and be really, really emotional. But the power of like my parents are like, my mum is, I think she's 75 next year, or 75 this year, and she is like a superwoman. She has COPD, but we've done a 25-mile bike ride together, and it's called in Newmarket, where they live, called Newmarket Hilly. And to have COPD at 70 years old, and the clue's in the title, it's hilly, to bike that twice. And she just does everything for the family, and she's like a superwoman, and like, there's nothing that gets in the way. And then my dad is just like, yeah, like they're just, you can tell the way I've changed my tone, and they're just amazing. Like, and like my family, like I said, with my nephews and my sister, like, yeah, incredible. And like I said, I don't know where or what path I'd have been down without them, really. They've took me back, you know. It's still now, I go around there once a week to work from there, and they're just like, my mum cannot do anything more for me, you know. It's like going back and being like a six-year-old and being like, oh, do you want your tea? You know, and it's like, I'm my mummy's boy at heart, but it's quite
will you always be her baby, Marcus?
Yeah, I love that. Probably, do you know what? Like... But you know, it gets me really like emotional, because I know some people don't have that connection with their parents or family, and it's heartbreaking that they don't, because I am very, very lucky that I have such loving parents, and I honestly don't know, you know, without being a mummy's boy, I don't know where I'd be without them. And it's, yeah, they're just like such a catalyst. I mean, when I was at my darkest, my mum, this is how amazing she is. My mum took me to New York for like four nights, 5 days. I've just been with my partner for her 40th birthday. But she was like, I'm not kidding you, she was like a kid in a switch, like, everyone's been to New York. You cover some mileage. She was doing 25,000 steps a day. No, like, just flying. She went, we went to like Skechers at 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, old people love Skechers, don't they? Like, and it's just flying about.
Hang on a minute, 49-year-olds like Skechers as well, Marcus. Thank you.
That's exactly what Marcus is. Sorry.
They are so comfy. I know that, but like, yeah, incredible. Like, I don't know. Yeah,
but you know
just
what?
Just amazing.
A lot of people don't have that, and you know, I know it's been difficult for you, and it will have been torturous at times for your parents. You know that they don't have to stand by you, do they? If they're struggling themselves, and we hear it a lot of fractured families and relationships change and not for the good. Thank God for your mum and dad.
It's funny, like we've interviewed so many people now. Like hundreds and hundreds of hours of conversations like this. And you talk about, you know, you've listened to the Dapper episode today. I don't remember everything we talked about, but there are certain things that stick out, and you kind of remember little bits from everyone, or at least I do. I always like to take something from every episode we do. And the thing that I remember about that episode is that we had quite a difficult conversation about, you know, yes, I remember him. I'm of the same age. I remember him on Vine, when Vine was the kind of the big social media platform. And you're right, a lot of his stuff was really funny. A lot of his stuff was quite offensive as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about that. And the thing that sticks with me, and Chaz, it's your quote, the best apology is change behaviour. It fits in with that. He talked about how, you know, he got cancelled, to use a modern term, because he made some pretty terrible, I say jokes in inverted commas. He talks about it openly on the podcast. Have a listen back to it. If you haven't heard it, it's a great episode. It's up there with one of my all-time favourites, actually, because he was so honest. But he said, you know what, for the rest of my life, and if you're talking about what you add attention to, you add momentum to, he said, I want my daughters to Google me. And I want to do, when they're at an age where they can Google them, but I want them to, the content that I'm making now, I just want to push all that old stuff down so that all they see on Google is those good, positive things that I've done for the world. Yeah, I've done some bad stuff, but you know what? If I can do enough good now, I just thought that was a really, I'll always remember that, actually. And it is that same thing, isn't it, Chaz? The best apology is changed behaviour.
Yeah, he did.
He owned it, didn't he? He said, you know what? Hands up, what I did wasn't great. And I deserve what I got, basically, is what he said in that episode. But it's not about what you've done, it's about what you do next, you know?
Yeah, that's massive. And I think that is key, isn't it? Like, you, I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, how do I help my friend? Or how do, you know, sobriety is so good, how do we help others? The real reason is you can't. You have to keep showing up and showing people. You know, the difference now in going from my nephews doing that picture, now they've watched me run a marathon. I've climbed Snowdon with him. I know you guys love climbing. I've climbed Snowdon with him, and I've done a junior park run with him.
Oh, I love
now,
that.
Now, the difference in showing them, showing not telling, you know, and the difference in that is, wow, it's like, again, chips and gravy, chalk and cheese. Like, it's like what, you know, the most powerful thing is showing up and keep showing up and being that role model, because I'm not Dapper, right? I'm not Dapper Laughs. I haven't got a million followers. Or I haven't got this. But for you guys to even have me on is, you know, I'm so grateful for, you know, and I'm just an average Joe from, you know, originally Cambridge. But if I can help one other, then that's the power in turning up every day and sharing my message.
Love that. And you're more than welcome to be on the podcast. It's we get some of the big names on here, and we get authors and influencers and comedians and whatever it might be. Also, it's really important that we have ordinary people telling extraordinary stories. They can be the most powerful, because, you know, Marcus, you never quite know who's listening. So thank you for sharing, really honestly, and over the influence. It's been a really enjoyable episode. Let's talk, please, about chips and gravy. My stomach's rumbling. I'm really, really, really hungry.
I'm hungry.
Really hungry to eat as soon as we've finished our chat today. Marcus, I know obviously you've got your own social media pages. You shout about sobriety on there and you do coaching as well. If anybody wants to get in touch with you and find out more about what you do, where can they do that?
Yeah, if you go on Instagram, Marcus Jones Coaching, I'm on there. Obviously, if ever you're struggling, just reach out. I've got loads of free stuff on there you can do as well. And for men who are struggling out there, jump on Men and Their Emotions on Facebook. I'm a moderator there, like I said, with 18 others and Dapper. Like, we're always there to help others. And I think that's my mission now, is to help others. I don't want someone basically being in the same situation I was. I want to help them before they get into that situation, because there's a lot of people who do the same and repeat every weekend, and the weekend offenders. And I know there's a better life out there than that. So yeah, just reach out if you need to.
I'm really looking forward to finding out at some point, Marcus, what your nephews draw on this year's Christmas card. What are you hoping for?
Yeah. I'm just hoping for a runner, or I'm begging to be a golfer as well, but they'll probably not draw a golf ball. But yeah, they're a lot older now, so they might just buy me a golf ball or buy me not bare running shoes. There are a lot these days, but you know, like, but I think the key, like, now, and you guys running, like, climbing up mountains as well, is there's a lot of talk around there, from kitchen talker to mountain walker, you know, and that's quite funny. Like, yeah, yeah. And that's me climbing Snowdon, but there's a lot of people out there, you know. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I hope they just send me a lovely card with something like hero on, or, you know, something like a number one uncle.
All round legend.
Just a card. Just a card that says, "You're my hero."
Yeah, exactly. Number one uncle will be fine.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. What a great note to end on. From kitchen talker to mountain walker, Marcus Jones, thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. You've been amazing. And I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Huge thanks to this week's guest on Over the Influence, Marcus Jones from Hertfordshire. As he mentioned there, you can look him up online. Marcus Jones Coaching is on socials as well. And brilliant what he said there about being a moderator for Dapper's group online. Mates, it's called Men and Their Emotions. 45,000 fellas in there, which is absolutely brilliant. Really enjoyed our chat with Marcus this week. And if you enjoyed it as well, please do, if you are listening on Apple, head to your podcast provider thingy there, and you can leave us a star rating and you can leave us a review. It just helps bump us up within the algorithms, and we always really do appreciate it. Have we had some nice ones, Ben?
Yeah, we've had loads of nice. So I'm just doing some maths, because we've now had, as we speak, 196 ratings. Okay, so that's how many people have given us a star rating out of 5.
Yep.
I'm just trying to, 64.4%. I'm just in the analytics in the back end.
Oh, God, you're so dull at times.
I've logged into the back end of the platform.
Brilliant. And I don't even know where it is.
And analytics, you know, you ask.
I don't.
Do you? Yeah.
I don't care.
No. Is it out yet? Is it good? Okay, great, fabulous.
That'll do me.
Do I sound good? Can I listen in the car on the way home from work? So 64.4% of our listeners listen on Apple Podcasts, Sharon.
Okay.
I'm trying to do the maths. If every single person who listens to us on Apple Podcasts left us a 5-star review, I can't do it in my head. We'd have thousands of ratings if everybody...
That'd be good.
If you've not done it before, like, hopefully you've enjoyed today's episode and all the others. Please do leave us a rating. 5 stars preferable. But if, like Mel, you think Mel B, not the famous one in brackets, if like Mel B, we talked about in the middle, If you think that maybe, you know, four's what we deserve, that's fine by us.
That's fine. Because Sharon, it's fine.
Don't forget, James Clear said, to bring another quote in from James, the trick to viewing feedback as a gift is to be more worried about having blind spots than hearing about them.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm all for it.
Let us know why.
I don't mind feedback.
Yeah. Let us know why we lost stuff. I'm joking, of course. If you could please go on, and it, without being too boring and statsy and just, you know, techie and dull, every time someone leaves us a rating, Apple Podcasts goes, oh, this is a podcast that's liked by real people. It's not robots or AI that have gone through and set an algorithm to like all. It's a real person has gone on and left a written review. That must mean that this is a good podcast. You know what? Let's push it higher up in the ratings so that more people can discover this. So that's why it's helpful. So if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please help us out by leaving a written review and a 5-star rating. Unless, of course, you think we deserve less, and that's fine by us. Just leave one. Perfectly fine.
Yeah, I'm saying nothing.
You're on the beach, Liv. You don't care.
I don't care.
You're on the beach.
I'm listening to this wearing my swimsuit, you know, with an AF cocktail in my hand, thinking, oh, how's Ben coping without me? How is he in the back end without me? I'm sure he's absolutely fine.
How's Ben's back end? Let's not go there.
Let's leave it there. As always, thank you for listening. If you'd like to give us a review, that would be marvellous. And if you would like any further information about our community, feel free to ping us an email anytime. Except when I say that, my out of office will be on as you're listening to this, probably. And I'll get back to you when I get back in the UK. OTI HQ overtheinfluence.co.uk. Thank you for listening. We will be back same time next week.